Dhyana Yoga, verses 33, 34, 35, 36. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So chapter 6 is entitled Dhyana Yoga. This is the chapter where Krishna summarizes the yoga system. This yogic system was the recommended form of self-realization in the age known as Satya. The universe has seasons. Just as there is winter, spring, summer, fall, there is Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarapara Yuga, and the current age, Kali Yuga. Each yuga has its recommended process of self-realization. This yoga system was the recommended process in the first age when people had a normal lifespan of over 100,000 years. In Treta Yuga, the process of self-realization was sacrifice, where human beings had a lifespan of 10,000 years. In the next age, Dwarapara Yuga, the lifespan was 1,000 years, and the recommended process of self-realization was deity worship, like what we do here. But that deity worship was much more elaborate. One time, Srila Prabhupada commented that if he was to introduce the standard of deity worship in Dwarapara Yuga, we would all faint. It would be impossible. Now in this age of Kali, where people at best live to be 100 years, the recommended process of self-realization is called Sankirtan, which centers around the chanting of the holy names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So up until this verse, we're starting with verse number 33. From the first verse through the 32nd verse, Krishna has been explaining this meditation or yoga system. So now in verse number 33, we will see how Arjuna responds. Krishna has been summarizing it. Now we will see. If you have a book, please respond. Arjuna Uvacha. Very good. Can you do a little louder? Yoyam yogastvaya prokta. Good. Samyena madhusudana. Etasyaham napasyami. Chanchalat vat stating stiram. Thank you. Very nice. Good. Now let's do... You don't have a book. I know. I know. Okay, you have your book, Mr. J.D.?
Yes, sir.
All right. So we're studying chapter 6, verse number 33, and we're doing the synonyms. Arjuna Uvacha Ya Ayam. This system. Yoga, mysticism. Tvaya, by you. Prokta, described. Samyena, generally. Madhusudana, O killer of the demon Madhu. Etasya, of this. Aham, I. Na, do not. Pasyami, see. Chanchalatvat, due to being restless. Stitim, situation. Stiram, stable. Please repeat. Arjuna said, O Madhusudan, the system of yoga which you have summarized appears impractical and unendurable to me. For the mind is restless and unsteady. So before we go to Prabhupada's purport, allow me to speak a little bit about the translation. So, he addresses Krishna as Madhusudan. In a previous incarnation, there were these two demons, Madhu and Kaitava. And millions and millions of years prior to this Bhagavad Gita being spoken, these two demons attacked the creator, Lord Brahma. So Krishna came in a particular form known as Hayagriva, which means the Lord who came with the head of a horse. And this golden form, Hayagriva, killed the two demons, Madhu and Kaitava. Therefore, one of Krishna's names, Madhusudana. Can you all say? So then Arjuna says, the system of yoga which you have summarized. Yes, he's only talked about it in 32 verses. There's a lot more to be said, more details. But Krishna was giving a summary. But what does Arjuna say? It's impractical and unendurable. So that was Arjuna's conclusion after hearing it. And he says, because the mind is restless and unsteady. So now we'll study the purport to this verse. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The system of mysticism described by Lord Krishna to Arjuna, beginning with the words Shuchau Deshe and ending with Yogi Parama, is here being rejected by Arjuna out of a feeling of inability. It is not possible for an ordinary man to leave home and go to a secluded place in the mountains or jungles to practice yoga in this age of Kali. The present age is characterized by a bitter struggle for a life of short duration. People are not serious about self-realization, even by simple practical means. And what to speak of this difficult yoga system, which regulates the mode of living, the manner of sitting, selection of place, and detachment of the mind from material engagements. As a practical man, Arjuna thought it was impossible to follow this system of yoga, even though he was favorably endowed in many ways. He belonged through the royal family and was highly elevated in terms of numerous qualities. He was a great warrior. He had great longevity. And above all, he was the most intimate friend of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 5,000 years ago, Arjuna had much better facilities than we do now. Yet he refused to accept this system of yoga. In fact, we do not find any record in history of his practicing it at any time. Therefore, this system must be considered generally impossible in this age of Kali. Of course, it may be possible for some very few rare men, but for the people in general, it is an impossible proposal. If this were so 5,000 years ago, then what of the present day? Those who are imitating this yoga system in different so-called schools and societies, although complacent, are certainly wasting their time. They are completely in ignorance of the desired goal. Now, this desired goal is understood to be self-realization. Self-realization means to understand oneself fully in terms of what is my eternal relationship with God. The mere reason why we even exist is to reciprocate a loving relationship with God. That is why we exist. We are intended to be expansions of God's pleasure potency. How does God enjoy pleasure? God enjoys pleasure when there is a reciprocation of loving feelings and service between God and his parts and parcels, the living entities. But of course, there is free will. Without free will, then there is no meaning to the word love. So, God enjoys when you and I voluntarily agree to submit and render loving service. So the ultimate goal or the desired goal is the permanent situation whereby you and I are rendering loving reciprocation with God personally. Just like, I'll give an example. My student JD, before coming to class, brought me a glass of water. That is called love. Love means I do something for you to satisfy your senses. Since God is a person, he has senses. So, in the same way that JD brought me a cup of water, in the kingdom of God, all the living entities that reside there are daily exchanging different services with God. That is the desired goal. Service, we will never get away from. There's a song that I sing quite regularly. You've got to serve somebody. That is a fact that is explained by Srila Prabhupada throughout his books. Either we're going to serve God, or we are going to serve somebody else. But service we cannot avoid. Either we're serving the boss, either we're serving the husband or the wife or the children, or our own senses. And sometimes we serve our pets, our cats and dogs. It is our nature to serve. We can't avoid it. So the question becomes, who do you want to serve? Because you are going to serve somebody. The question becomes, who is the best master to serve? The conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, the conclusion of all the Vedic scriptures, is that the best person to whom you should be rendering service is God. Let us now go to the next verse, because we're going to cover a series of verses, because Arjuna has made a statement. He's going to make a few more statements, and then Krishna is going to respond. Hari Bol. Let's do the next verse. This is chapter 6, verse 34. Chanchalang hi manak Krishna Pramati balavadridham Tasyaham nigraham manye Vayor eva sudushkaram. So, JD, how did you get so good in Sanskrit? Well, you're doing very good. Excellent. Word for word meanings? Chanchalam, flickering. He, certainly. Manaha, mind. Krishna, O Krishna. Pramati, agitating. Balavat, strong. Dridham, obstinate. Tasya, its. Aham, I. Nigraham, subduing. Manye, think. Vayo, of the wind. Eva, like. Sudushkaram, difficult. Translation, please repeat. The mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong. O Krishna, and to subdue it, I think, is more difficult than controlling the wind. So, this is the chief reason why Arjuna has rejected Krishna's summarization of the yoga system. It's all because of the mind. In the opening verses of this chapter, there were quite a few verses about the mind. Now, Arjuna gives his opinion about the mind. Purport. The mind is so strong and obstinate that it sometimes overcomes the intelligence, although the mind is supposed to be subservient to the intelligent. Let's go back to chapter number 3. Hold your place there. And at the end of chapter 3, probably around verse 41 or 40, a hierarchy is given. JD, do you see the verse that I'm talking about? What does number 40 in chapter 3 say? Okay, that's number 40. Go to 41.
Therefore, O Arjuna, best of the Bhagavas, in the very beginning curve, this great symbol.
That's 41?
Yes, sir. This chapter
3. Yeah, what does 42 say?
The working senses.
Ah, there you go. That's the verse I'm looking for. Nice and slowly and loudly.
Yes, the working senses are superior
Good.
Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence.
So, intelligence is higher than the mind, right? But look what Prabhupada is saying here. The mind is so strong and obstinate that it sometimes overcomes the intelligence. We've all had experience with this. We know that we're not supposed to do something, our intelligence tells us, but because of the weak mind and then the powerful force of the senses and sense objects, we sometimes do what we know we shouldn't do. So, let's go on. For a man in the practical world who has to fight so many opposing elements, it is certainly very difficult to control the mind. Artificially, one may establish a mental equilibrium toward both friend and enemy, but ultimately no worldly man can do so, for this is more difficult than controlling the raging wind. Perhaps a couple of weeks ago, you were watching on the television the storms that they had on the East Coast. And you might have seen their reporters because they have to make their money. They had to be out there in the raging wind and rain, and they were being pelted and they were being blown about, but they had to do it because that's their job. But that wind and rain was overpowerful, knocking down trees, causing cars, and so much destruction. How powerful is that wind? In the Vedic literature, namely the Katha Upanishad, it is said, Atmanam ratinam vidhi, shariram ratam evacha, buddhim tu sarating vidhi, manap pragraham evacha, indriyani hayan ahur, vishayangs teshu gocharan, atmendriya mano yuktam, bokte yahur manishinaha. The individual is the passenger in the car of the material body, and intelligence is the driver. Mind is the driving instrument, and the senses are the horses. The self is thus the enjoyer or sufferer in the association of the mind and senses. So it is understood by great thinkers. So, if you have ever been next door to our Bhagavad Gita museum, they have this, where you have the chariot, and then you have the horses, the reins. So this verse is nicely explained in one of the exhibits in the Bhagavad Gita museum. And the horses represent the senses. So the precarious condition is that one horse, the nose, is being attracted in this direction. Another horse, the eyes, is being attracted in a different direction. Another horse, the ears, are again being attracted in another direction. So you can imagine the five horses representing eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin are all pushing and pulling you in different directions. They're wild horses, the senses. So what controls those wild horses is the driving instrument, the mind, the reins, right? You bridle the horse, and by pulling on the reins, the horse's head is pulled up. That slows down the wild horse. So, mind has to be very strong in order to subdue those raging wild horses which represent the senses. But those reins have to be held onto by the intelligence, who is the driver. You and I, the spirit soul, we're just a passenger. So you can see the interrelationship. The mind, the intelligence has to hold on to the reins of the mind, and then the mind has to control the wild horses or senses. Let's continue. Intelligence is supposed to direct the mind, but the mind is so strong and obstinate that it often overcomes even one's own intelligence, as an acute infection may surpass the efficacy of medicine. Such a strong mind is supposed to be controlled by the practice of yoga. But such practice is never practical for a worldly person like Arjuna. And what can we say of modern man? The simile used here is appropriate. One cannot capture the blowing wind. And it is even more difficult to capture the turbulent mind. So here is a meditation for us. Today, I spoke at a gathering, and I was asked, do Hare Krishnas do meditation? So I said, yes, but not the kind of meditation you're probably thinking. This is how we meditate. That look at what Prabhupada just said. The mind is like the raging wind. So when you see a hurricane, then that should immediately remind you, oh, just like that hurricane, my mind can be that overpowerful. And just as it is impossible to overcome that raging hurricane, if the mind is uncontrolled, if I've not been practicing controlling the mind, then it is going to be virtually impossible. Continuing. And it is even more difficult to capture the turbulent mind. The easiest way to control the mind, as suggested by Lord Chaitanya, is chanting Hare Krishna, the great mantra for deliverance in all humility. The method prescribed is Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo. One must engage one's mind fully in Krishna. Only then will there remain no other engagements to agitate the mind. So before we go any further, because now Krishna is going to respond to what Arjuna said, we will do some of this chanting as the means to control the mind. Are you ready, Mr. J.D.? Okay. One second. Let's hear your note. Start playing.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Do you play as well? So bring your guitar, you can play with us. Hari Bol.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Dad. Gopi Janavallava Girivarad Hari. Gopi Janavallava Girivarad Hari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vannachari Jamuna Tira Vannachari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivarad Hari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vannachari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Very good, J.D. Very good. Anyone who would like to learn how to play, J.D. will teach you. All right, let us now continue with chapter 6. So we have heard Arjuna's arguments. He is rejecting the yoga system. And now we'll see how Krishna responds to Arjuna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hold on a second. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text number 35, please repeat. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Asangshayang Mahabaho. Mano Durnigraham Chalam. Abhyasena to Kaunteya. Vairagyena chagrihyate. Very good. Word for word meanings. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. The personality of Godhead said. Asangshayam. Undoubtedly. Mahabaho. O mighty armed one, manaha, the mind, durnigraham, difficult to curb, chalam, flickering, abhyasena, by practice, to, but, kaunteya, O son of Kunti, Vairagyena, by detachment, cha, also, kriyate, can be so controlled. Please repeat. Lord Sri Krishna said, O mighty armed son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. So, before we go to the purport, let me explain a little bit. So, in the Sanskrit, the opening verse was Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Yet, in the translation, it says Lord Sri Krishna, because those two terms are synonymous. Krishna is the actual speaker of Bhagavad Gita, and he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in full. Then, O mighty armed son of Kunti, many, many times Arjuna is addressed coming from his mother's side. Arjuna has many names. Many names are given for Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita and other places. And many times he's addressed in terms of relationship with his mother, who was Krishna's aunt, Kunti. She was the sister of Krishna's father, Vasudev. Kunti, apart from that, was also a great, great saintly devotee of Krishna. There is an entire chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam that delineates Kunti's prayers to Krishna. After this Bhagavad Gita was spoken, there was a war that lasted 18 days. Millions of persons died, and Arjuna's elder brother Yudhisthira was crowned king of the world. After this battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna intended to leave the city known as Hastinapur, which is now known as New Delhi in India. Yudhisthira was king. Krishna's business was finished, so he was going to return to his capital city on the western coast of India, the city within the waters known as Dwaraka. And this temple is known as New Dwaraka. Just as the early settlers here in America, coming from Europe, named their places New Jersey, New York, like that, New Brunswick. So Prabhupada, when he opened his temples, created places such as New Vrindavan and here New Dwaraka. When Krishna was about to get on his chariot to return to his city, Dwaraka, Kunti stopped him and offered a stream of very beautiful and highly philosophical prayers. And she was able to detain Krishna for some time. So Arjuna, being addressed as the son of Kunti, signifies that Kunti is a great lady in terms of spiritual advancement. Now, Krishna says, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind. So Krishna agrees and confirms what Arjuna had just said in the previous two verses. In fact, the previous verse, JD, what did it say in the previous verse? What did Arjuna describe the mind as?
Mind is restless,
turbulent,
obstinate,
and very strong. And try to capture it is like what?
More difficult than controlling
the mind. So, Krishna agrees with Arjuna's analysis. Yes, the mind is very difficult. But the word but is significant. But it is possible. So Krishna is not letting Arjuna off the hook. Previous in this whole chapter, Krishna has been explaining the yoga system. Arjuna, after hearing the yoga system, said, I can't do it. Because what he just said, the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong. Although Krishna agrees with Arjuna, yes, that is the nature of the mind. It is possible, and he gives you two options, by suitable practice and detachment. Suitable practice means what is being taught in this Bhagavad Gita, the practice of Krishna consciousness. That is the suitable practice, especially in this age. It was already mentioned, but we'll repeat it. The way to control the mind in this day and age of Kali is to fix it on Krishna. And that is centered around chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's the practice. After all, we're known as the Hare Krishna movement. This whole movement, this temple, is based chiefly on the chanting of this Hare Krishna mantra. We are doing many, many things in this movement, but it's all centered around the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Because that is the suitable practice in this age of Kali, technically known as Sankirtan, which is two words, Sankirtan. Sam means complete, and kirtan means to describe, to glorify, to sing. So in this movement, we are chiefly glorifying, singing, praising, and chanting the name Krishna. Again, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Now this other thing, Krishna said, it is possible to curb the restless mind by the suitable practice, which we just explained, and by detachment. Detachment is like a coin. Make believe this is a big coin. So there's two sides to a coin, heads or tails. You can't have a one-sided coin. A coin has two sides. Similarly, real detachment has two sides. The two sides of the detachment coin is, first of all, non-attachment to anything without a relationship to Krishna, which we call maya or illusion. We want to disassociate ourselves. We want to be unattached to anything that cannot be used in Krishna's service. And at the same time, we want to be attached to Krishna. The impersonalist school, they only have half the coin. The impersonalist school simply wants to become detached from anything in this material world. They see everything in this material world as maya, illusion. They have no concept of utilizing anything in this material world for its proper utilization to serve Krishna. That's the impersonalist. The personalists, that's the school that we follow, does see some value here in this material world. That value is, although something is material, it can be used for Krishna's service. Here I'm using a microphone. If I use this microphone and I make sounds, nonsense sounds, telling lies, propaganda, then this microphone is not being utilized properly. But the same microphone, if I use to glorify and describe and serve Krishna, the microphone is properly. Here's your guitar. You could use your guitar and sing songs about how you are in love with Bobby Sue or Jimmy Jones, or you could sing songs describing how miserable you are in this material world, as 99% of the songs are. But instead, you use the guitar, and what were we doing? Jai Radha Madhav, Hare Krishna. Many, many, many years ago, I was asked by one Indian man, he was a follower of Satya Sai Baba, and he wanted to trick me. He thought he was going to ask some clever question. So he said, is money good or evil? I said, it's neither. If the money is used for God, it's very good. But if the money is used for my own sense gratification, that's evil. This is the true meaning of detachment. Whether I have a computer, a car, a wife, a husband, talents, abilities, if I use all these things to serve God, very good. But those same talents and abilities and possessions, if I simply use them for my own self-aggrandizement, that's my ticket to hell. So detachment means to become disassociated with anything and everything which cannot be utilized to serve Krishna. And the other side is to use everything properly, seeing it in terms of its relationship with Krishna. Let us now study Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse. Prabhupada says, "The difficulty of controlling the obstinate mind, as expressed by Arjuna, is accepted by the personality of Godhead. But at the same time, he suggests that by practice and detachment, it is possible. What is that practice? In the present age, no one can observe the strict rules and regulations of placing oneself in a sacred place, focusing the mind on the supersoul, restraining the senses and mind, observing celibacy, remaining alone, etc. By the practice of Krishna consciousness, however, one engages in 9 types of devotional service to the Lord. The first and foremost of such devotional engagements is hearing about Krishna, which is what you are all doing right now. Right now, you are exactly doing that. You are hearing about Krishna. The first and foremost of such devotional engagements is hearing about Krishna. This is a very powerful transcendental method for purging the mind of all misgivings. The more one hears about Krishna, the more one becomes enlightened and detached from everything that draws the mind away from Krishna. By detaching the mind from activities not devoted to the Lord, one can very easily learn vairagya. Vairagya means detachment from matter and engagement of the mind in spirit. Impersonal spiritual detachment is more difficult than attaching the mind to the activities of Krishna. This is practical because by hearing about Krishna, one becomes automatically attached to the Supreme Spirit. This attachment is called pareshanubhuti, spiritual satisfaction. It is just like the feeling of satisfaction a hungry man has for every morsel of food he eats. The more one eats while hungry, the more one feels satisfaction and strength. Similarly, by discharge of devotional service, one feels transcendental satisfaction as the mind becomes detached from material objectives. It is something like curing a disease by expert treatment and appropriate diet. Hearing of the transcendental activities of Lord Krishna is therefore expert treatment for the mad mind, and eating the foodstuff offered to Krishna is the appropriate diet for the suffering patient. This treatment is the process of Krishna consciousness. This reminds us of the conversation that Lord Chaitanya had with Ramananda Roy. The discussion began when Lord Chaitanya, the sannyasi, asked the Sudra, Ramananda Roy, "What is the goal of life?" Ramananda Roy replied by first saying, "The goal of life is to be situated within terms of the Varnashram institution, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, and which makes one eligible to get liberation." Lord Chaitanya rejected this proposal calling it material or external. So Ramananda Roy proposed another objective, and Lord Chaitanya rejected. And then a third proposal by Ramananda Roy, he rejected. But when finally Ramananda Roy quoted a verse by Lord Brahma, where it was stated that regardless of one's social position, if one begins to hear about God from self-realized souls, that hearing process, regardless of one's material situation, that submissive hearing from spiritual authorities is the beginning of what is called pure devotional service. That was the point Lord Chaitanya said, yes, I approve of that, but now I want you to go higher. And so the discussion went like that. Ramananda Roy presented higher and higher subject matters. But the point being the same thing that was being pointed out in the purport. Situating yourself in terms of hearing the science of God from devotees, this is the beginning fundamental step to achieve complete perfection in the human form of life. So this is your default position. No matter who you are, what you are, where you are, however your life takes you, always remember that you can immediately begin to make advancement as soon as you submit yourself to hearing the science of God from pure devotees. This temple, any ISKCON temple, facilitates that. We have our classes in the morning, in the evening, based on this point. Simply by hearing the science of God, you can begin to make great advancement. Let's see how much time we have. Let's do one more verse. Chapter 6, verse 36. Asaṅyatātmanā yogo. Duṣprāpa iti me mati. Vaśyātmanā tu yatatā. Shakyo vaptum upāyatah. Asaṅyata. Unbridled. Atmana, by the mind, yoga, self-realization, duṣprāpa, difficult to obtain, iti, thus, me, my, mati, opinion, vaśya, controlled, atmana, by the mind, to, but, yatata, while endeavoring, shakya, practical, avaptum, to achieve, upayata, by appropriate means. Please repeat. For one whose mind is unbridled, self-realization is difficult work. But he whose mind is controlled and who strives by appropriate means is assured of success. That is my opinion. So, notice the word my is capitalized. So, this indicates that the speaker is God himself. So God is giving you his opinion. If God gives you his opinion, you can bank on it. His opinion is absolute. So his opinion is If you do not control your mind, because earlier we were hearing about the comparison, the mind was like the reins which controls the horses. The horses were compared to the wild senses, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin. The mind is supposed to rein those senses in. So if you're trying to achieve self-realization, but your mind is not controlled, Krishna is saying, that's going to be difficult. But if your mind is controlled and you work appropriately, in other words, following Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you are assured of success. This is Krishna's guarantee. All right, we're now going to have Arti and